All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I'm Maureen Britt from Kids Comic Con, and we have a wonderful group of women today to talk about their journey in the arts and their artistic creative selves. We have Blossom Blair, who's a young artist who was teaching a KCC workshop just the other day. Very talented. We have Jordan Galen, who is a student at Pleasantville High School. She's interested in media and interviewing. Kayla White is a senior at Hamilton College in upstate New York. She's studying creative writing and has just finished her first novella. Dr. Vanessa Hintz is a wonderful psychologist who has been studying the psychology of pop culture and Black Panther, and what a wonderful article in this fantastic book, Black Panther Psychology, about the juxtaposition between T'Challa and Killmonger, and how they both have valid viewpoints. Very interesting stuff. Over here, we have Leslie Carrera Rudolph, the famous puppeteer from Sesame Street, just a vibrant, exuberant personality. Also does a fantastic cabaret act, I hear, which as soon as COVID's over, we hope she does again so we can all come see her. And Emily Kenlin is a student at in Eastern Shores College down south. She is a fantastic artist, and she has done the artwork for Panel Talk, which I will show you in just a moment. And we're all here to talk about our journeys and our life side, so that young folks in high school and college can get an idea of what it's like and what we've been through. So I'm going to be quiet for a while and turn over to Kayla, who's going to be our moderator, to ask questions. And we're all just going to have fun and have a good chat. Thanks, everybody.
Yes. Thank you so much, everyone, for being here. It's so nice to meet you. I know Leslie, I've met you already. Jordan, I work with you. But Vanessa and Blossom, it's great to meet you both. How's everyone doing?
Doing good. I'm doing good.
Excellent. Excellent.
Awesome. Perfect. Love to hear it. So let's just kick this right off. I want to start by asking, because all of you work with the arts in some way, even though Vanessa, I know you're a therapist and you wrote that amazing piece in the Black Panther Psychology, which I can't wait to read. It sounds so interesting. But I'm just curious to know how you all got started in your careers what your careers with the arts and your interest with the arts. So just a little bit about yourselves and how you just got into it, you know? Whoever wants to start can just fire away.
I guess I'll go first. My brother is actually a comic artist. He wrote Is Not of the Were-Spider. I don't know if you guys have heard of it before, but when we were younger, he used to bring a lot of comic books home, and I was really fascinated with the pictures. I never really read them, but I used to like steal his books, and I would like trace over them, and I think that's how I got started. Yeah. And I used to watch a lot of anime. He used to take me to the comic stores, and I would buy my own books, like manga books. So I think that's how I started.
Awesome. And Leslie, how about you?
My dad, he had wanted to be an animator for Disney. That was like his big dream, but he's actually late to the game. You know, he's first generation Italian and stuff. So he's like, he actually even had a like Italian restaurant for a while.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, he just did a bunch of, you know, he always loved drawing and cartooning. And then he started a family and, you know, just doing lots of jobs to make ends meet. And then he got into an accident where he couldn't do as much physical labor. And then he decided late in life, like in his 30s, he already had four kids and, you know, I was running around to go back to school. So he went to CalArts. So with a family, my grandparents live with us, you know, we had a multi-generational family. And so my pop was like going through student teaching and stuff. And there was always students over and he was trying out art projects on us and like draw this, you know, he was always experimenting because he wanted to be an animator, but he ended up being an art teacher and a photographer and things like that. So, and I'm the youngest and I always say I have ADHD TNT, which is explosive attention deficit disorder, but I also have mild dyslexia, reading disorder. So words were always crashing in my head and I always related to, like I was in the backyard a lot because I was so hyper, like a puppy. So I always was creating worlds, and like my first puppet was a Snapdragon. You know, my grandpa showed me like this is a puppet. So I started seeing the world animated, you know, in objects and things, and I drew. And so I think I was in my own world a lot. And I think that because my, you know, I had my grandpa and storytellers and people around me a lot, that they just kind of fertilized my imagination. And also, you know, like Sesame Street, like I grew up watching that, the world with monsters and all the diversity on that show was what it looked like in my head, like all the things that would come to life. So I just have always wanted to play with the world and interact with the world. And I always felt like, you know, I feel like that's the arts are how we collaborate with our spirits, because there was something inside of me that wanted to keep going. So I just followed my heart.
That's awesome.
It's corny, but that's what I did.
No, that's really cool. And that's like awesome how you know, creativity was kind of like your outlet to, you know, handle the dyslexia and some of the challenges that could, you know.
Yeah. And then I relate with the doctor through therapy because my major at San Francisco State was child development through the arts, because I was very active in my community and I saw a lot of things that you can and see and things with kids and stuff. And I would reach them through puppets or arts. And so I just knew that I wanted that there was other kids like me and that the arts could help them with their narrative in a positive way. You know, like when they felt alone, there was a place they could create or go.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We're definitely going to talk more about that and about kind of like the challenges and what the arts have to do to really help with those challenges. And I'm really interested to hear what Vanessa, you have to say about that. But first we'll keep with the introduction. So please, Vanessa, why don't you go ahead? Tell us about yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm a licensed clinical psychologist, which means I went to school for maybe like 400 years. I don't know. I was in school like for so long, right? And when I was in graduate school, I remember taking a class just because it sounded interesting. It was called Geek Culture and Psychotherapy. And so one of my mentors, Dr. Patrick O'Connor, he basically offered this class where we utilized popular culture in sort of like therapy spaces. And I remember just like I had this like moment in that class. I was like, so all the things that I love, I can also use like in my work, right? And so from there, it just blew up. I remember the first presentation I gave was like a cultural analysis of the Ninja Turtles. And people were like, what? It started from there and it's blossomed. And I think that, you know, there's a reason that the things that we love are popular at the times that they're popular. And there's a reason that they speak to us. Just to Leslie's point, there's a reason that, you know, we find healing in the arts, which we'll talk about, you know, more. But I think that like marriage was just it was so perfect for me. And that's sort of how I started on, you know, this geek therapy journey.
That's awesome. That's like so cool. Your story is so unique. I've never met anyone who, you know, uses arts to therapy. That's just like, and it makes so much sense too. Because like you said, you know, art is just chef's kiss to me.
Exactly.
So Jordan, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little about your beginning of a career, because you're still pretty young, but your beginnings in the arts.
Yeah. Well, hi, I'm Jordan and I am a high schooler, junior at Pleasantville High School. And I've always loved the arts since I was young. I remember my first experience that I can remember was watching Alvin and the Chipmunks. And just loving and just singing with them. And me and like this two other girls would like perform them at lunch at like recess. And then it just blossomed from there. I went into middle school for 3 years at Windward. I did the play and it was such a nice community. It's really got where I got my voice. And then when I was at high school, which I am right now, I'm doing the school announcement system, the YouTube channel, the Daily Panther, and it's just been so much fun. It's an outlet to let people see me for who I am. We've done different videos, like a Name That Tune video, which was really fun. And it's just been I definitely have found myself through the arts, and it's helped me a lot when I'm going through those dark times.
That's what the arts are for. That's one of the part of the magic of the arts, I think. Awesome. And Emily, how about you?
Well, first off, you'll have to excuse me. I got my second COVID vaccination yesterday, so I'm still recovering from a fever. So, and I'm very sick, gross looking at the moment. Hence why I don't have my camera on. Let me see. I guess just in terms of my biggest inspiration, I always grew up like in a household of comics. My father was born in 1950. He grew up in the, you know, golden age of comic books, really like the birth of the genre, really. And so we always had like a bunch of, you know, anthology books and, you know, biography books about certain writers, you know, lying around the house. And I would just, you know, I would just look at them for hours. You know, I wasn't allowed to watch television on school nights growing up. And so, you know, I was pretty much just forced to do, you know, one of two things, just like read or look at pictures. And so I did both.
That's awesome. And if you can see right here on the screen, we have just an image of what Emily has done. This is the artwork for the podcast that Jordan, Emily, and I co-host together called Panel Talk, and Emily did this amazing illustration. So there's just a little taste of her talent. You can see she's awesome.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for introducing yourself, Emily, and everyone. It's so great again to meet you and to hear your stories. I can't wait to just get into it. So my next question is again having to do with your careers. I'm interested to know how your careers have changed, I guess, since it started. You know, did you always know that you wanted to pursue the arts or have the arts be a part of your life, in your case, Vanessa? Or were there ever times when you were just thinking of going somewhere else, but then the arts just called you back, and what that was like for you? Vanessa, how about you start?
Absolutely. So I think for me, when I was in graduate school, you know, I had a lot of opportunity to just explore and do what I wanted. And it was like, cool, right? And it's like, oh, okay, that's cute because you're still in school. And I feel like when I got out of school, now that I had credentials, like I had receipts, like I'm a doctor now, like what's up? Yeah. I felt like I wasn't going to be accepted for, you know, utilizing popular culture like I do because it's not science, you know, and there's just like whatever a beef about that. And so I think some of that is like my own stuff, but some of that is, you know, I work in an industry that's very traditional and sometimes bland and boring. And so I think that it's taken me, and I say taken because I feel like I'm still on that journey. Like I'm on a journey to like, okay, there's not really a lane for this, but I'm about to make one. And nobody's going to tell me that it's not okay, and it's not science and it's not scholarly, because it is, it absolutely is. It's just in a way that people haven't talked about before. And so there were times where I felt like, okay, like I gotta stop doing this, like I gotta get down to the real work. And it's like, no, this is the real work. And being able to, you know, bring in popular culture and like all the other work that I do, like around equity and diversity and inclusion, it's just been such an amazing like combination of things that I hear often people say, like, yo, nobody else is doing this. And I'm like, oh, really? Because I feel like this is, it makes sense, you know? And so I do think that there have been times, and there will continue to be times, where people say, oh, okay, that's cute, but that's not real science, that's not real psychology work. And to them I say something that I'm not going to say on this panel because I don't want you to have to bleep it out.
Well, I love that. We love the confidence and the girl power. Just, we need more of that for sure. That's awesome. Blossom, how about you? How has your just journey changed as an artist and grown?
Well, this is something that I'm struggling now because I'm in college, but I'm not in college for art. Just because, like in this day and age, you kind of learn that it's not very necessary to get that degree for like in career in illustration. But yeah, there are parts of me that kind of struggle with in school because my mind is always on art. Like, I know, like, now this is what I wanted to do. Like, I've always loved it when I was younger, but it wasn't like a year or two ago where I was like, I want to do this like as a job. So I'm still struggling with school. I've already started my degree, which was like nursing. So my plan is to finish that because I've already started it. But hopefully I can get that career in the art, like enter the industry, because I'm not in it yet. I'm more like a hobbyist. Mm-hmm. But it's been really fun. I feel like I've been doing well, especially on social media. I feel like social media has definitely opened up a lot of opportunities. So, yeah.
Yes, I feel that as someone also in college. And I mean, nursing, I commend you because that seems really difficult to be managing nursing and then also doing the creative stuff on the side, because the creative stuff can take a lot of energy too. So I commend you for that. And I really hope that you get there, you know, to your artist dreams. And we are going to talk, I think we can hear a lot more from Leslie too about, you know, getting that first position up in the arts, you know, from being young and then actually reaching that. Cause I know Leslie, you like, you're a master puppeteer now on Sesame Street. Yes. So we're definitely going to talk more about that, but I do want to hear from you, Leslie, about how your career has changed. And if there was ever, I know you did touch on it briefly about your childhood and you were really into the arts as a child, but I just want to know, you know, was there anything that changed? Did you ever think about doing something else? And then just was like, nope, I'm sticking to it. And then just showed him who's boss, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. I have to say, yeah, because I think it was just because like I don't know if it was because it was an intergenerational family, but, and I, you know, we grew up and I never knew that we didn't have stuff, because it seems like we were always doing stuff and we were always involved with the community. I mean, my dad would let his students paint our Volkswagen bug at the end of the year. So we're driving around, and I'm from Northern California, so we're in this like hippie bug, like, yeah. But I think for me, when I, because I was so involved with the Parks and Recreation Department, like from 16 on, like I had my, I was painting windows for the holidays. I'd paint shoes. I have a pair of shoes on right now that I painted.
Oh, cool.
This is a where, this is a wolficorn. He's howling a rainbow, not barfing it, but it looks like it. But these are my victory shoes that I painted. I'm a cancer survivor, so I painted those on my last day of my radiation because I wanted something on the day. But I honestly do feel like I've just known my whole life, like I said, that I have, that the arts were a way that I could heal what's going on. I have my story is dark. You know, there's a lot of different things that happened in my family that changed my environment, and the arts became my survival. You know, it became a way that I became an escape artist. So if I didn't control the world around me, I could pick up a pencil and create a world that I can, you know, give my voice to a character or somebody who's going to stand up for me. And so when I went to San Francisco State, I loved theater because for me, theater, and I'll try to be brief, but because it all comes together, I did a lot of theater because for 2 hours, I had control over what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen. I knew my part. I knew the ending. And sometimes in life, you know, you're just like, oh, this is the thing. So I gravitated to theater, and also I could be whatever I wanted to. And then puppetry, you can literally be whoever you want to. There's no boundaries. And so when I got to San Francisco State, if you're in theater, they want you to do an English teacher, but I couldn't, I was the worst speller and words were awful. And it took me forever to read something. And I really, having worked in the arts and working with after school programs and working with kids at risk, I was like, I just want to do that. I want to tie those things together. Like Dr. Vanessa, you know, I know there's something here. So at a time, I didn't realize I was writing a grant, but I designed my child development through the arts. So I studied child psychology and therapeutic recreation, theater arts, and mostly therapeutic recreation. People don't, now it's called drama therapy, but back in the day, it was designing programs for hospitalized kids or kids on the spectrum or families, you know, foster care, like designing ways to help kids feel safe and heard and listened to. And I even tattooed on my arm, you know, this is my mom's signature. I'm a Sag. So my whole, and my dad's name is Art. He's in heaven now, but he got his wings, but it's helping people to love themselves through the arts. Like that's my arrow. And so I've always followed that. And yes, it's changed. Sesame Street, and we could talk about this later. That just came randomly because I was designing and writing stories and performing, and I had an HBO workspace, and I was doing all these characters, and the Muppets were looking for female comedians who could do different voices and the different kinds of things. And I'm talking too much, so I'm going to stop because I'm going way off. And you know how that is. So I just happened to fall down that rabbit hole into a world where, like, I didn't even believe it happened. So I do think that if your intention is noble and you stay on that intention and you work towards that, things will open up for you. And it didn't occur to me because I've always felt kind of not connected because I had a lot of death in my life early. I've always felt temporary. So every day could be my last day. So I've always lived that way because I've had so much loss. That's kind of deep. Sorry about that, but no, that's just the way it is.
It is what it is, and it's
my smile is deep.
Yes, well, that's good. We love that. We love a good deep smile. Jordan and Emily, I'm curious to hear too about you both, and I think this can actually, you know, this is more applicable to you both as just younger artists. But have you always felt supported in your art as well? And I want to hear from everyone else too, but I'll start with Emily and Jordan. Have you always felt supported in your pursuits as artists, and particularly as women too, you know, cause I know women often get told things that are different than men. So I want to know, you know, have you faced any challenges, from that and what those were and how you overcame those challenges? Jordan, if you want to start.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm lucky that I come from a family who is very supportive of what I do. And I'm just lucky about that. It's been hard going out and promoting myself, promoting like Kids Comic Con and that stuff. Cause people are like, oh, okay. Like when I explain it to people, you take one step at a time.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll face more as I get older, but I know I can power through it.
That's good. That's good. You have that attitude about powering through. That's very important, I'm sure. And Emily, how about you? Any challenges you face? Anybody not supporting and how you've gotten through that?
I've never had to face like overt challenges. It was more just like passive aggressive little like looks over the shoulder and like eye rolls, you know, because like the comic industry is such a patriarchal minefield. It's bananas. Not so much the case anymore, to which I'm very grateful to grow up in the time period that I am now. You know, if it were even like 20 years prior, it would have been like way worse. But, it's more just an attitude that I think people have towards women who want to enter the world of comics more than actions. And that can be like very obnoxious to deal with. But at the end of the day, it is just an attitude. So, you know, I can just give them a gesture and then just be on my way.
There you go. A gesture that probably shouldn't be shown on a panel like this.
But... Exactly. That's why I don't have my camera.
But we know what you mean. And Blossom, how about you? Have you faced any challenges or lack of support from your family? And if so, how have you ever overcome those challenges?
Yeah, my mom wasn't born here. So I think that when she came here, she kind of, you know, got the idea that, you know, the whole starving artist thing, you know, I wouldn't really make it. Oh, I would have to be like a master to even get my foot in the door. Yeah. So I feel like when I was growing up, I kind of strayed away from making it my career, but not completely, because I was always still drawing. Like, I always accepted that even though, like, I couldn't make it, I could always still do this on the side. Like, so if I become a nurse, I will always come home and draw. So it would always be something for me. So that was a challenge. I didn't pursue art college, which I guess kind of worked out because I realized that I didn't really need it. So I guess that's like more money in my pocket. But I still like really admire my mom, because she made me like be realistic about it. She didn't completely like, you know, stab my heart. She's like, you can't do this anymore. But like she still sees my art today, and she's like, oh my God, that's so amazing. You're so good. But she still like keeps my head on straight. My brother is like my main like supporter. He's the one that made me go to convention. He would see me drawing. He's like, why are you not like doing this? And I'm like, I don't know. But I think it's good to have those two sides, kind of like kind of the angel and the devil and my soldier, mm-hmm. just to like show like, made me just have like a clear mind, and it helps me make decisions in life, I guess. So,
yeah, no, that's definitely important to have that balance, you know, and to then have, it's good to have guiding figures to help you, especially when you're young like us, you know, still trying to figure things out. So I'm glad that they could at least still support you in your arts and, like you said, not completely cut you down. So that's awesome. And Maureen, I know you had something to say too.
I just wanted to say that, I know women have a lot of challenges, and I think sometimes your work speaks for yourself, because I was talking to Alex about putting together this panel, and I said, I want to bring in Blossom Blair. And he said, who's Blossom Blair? Like, he didn't remember, you know, there's about 50 people that show up at the KCC convention. I said, this is Greg's younger sister. She does fantastic artwork. We were on a Zoom call, so I pulled up your Instagram, and just before I even started rolling, he's like, get her on the phone, because she's so talented. So I just wanted to make the point, though, a lot of times your work has to speak for yourself, you know, and I understand also the challenges about making money versus being in the arts. I went through that myself. When I was young, I was in theater, did a lot of acting, and of course, my mother, being one of eight children, she was a little worried. So she, you know, she finally relaxed the day I started working for IBM. But I continued to work in the arts after off hours. So I just wanted to interject that. And I think you guys are all amazing. So I'm going to quiet down now.
No, that's great to hear. And I'm also glad, like I said, that everyone's still able to pursue the arts, you know, while, you know, still thinking about money, because I have to think about it, you know, whether we like it or not. But I did have a specific question for you, Vanessa. I want to pick your doctor brain a little bit here. I just wanted to ask, it is about gender, and particularly being a woman. Do you feel that gender has played a part in the lack of support for women in the arts in the past? And do you feel that that has changed or will change? It's a pretty loaded question, but
how much time do we have? And I should also preface this by saying I'm just a very naturally cynical person. It's just naturally how I am, so please just take what I say as you will. I think that there's no way to separate someone's gender from their work. So it's absolutely false to say, like, what, we don't see gender. It's like saying you don't see color. Yes, you do. You know, it's impossible to separate. And so I absolutely think it's a factor. I think, and recognizing gender and recognizing color, whatever, that is not inherently a bad thing. What makes it a bad thing is when we devalue something because it was done by a woman or done by a person of color. That is where the bad stuff comes in. So I do think that we've seen a lot of that, a lot of devaluing things, accomplishments, art, that women have made just because they were made by women. And let's not even go into intersectionality when we're talking about women of color. We talk about women from, you know, the LGBTQ plus community, like what we could be here all day. And so I do think that it plays a role. I think that I hope that it's changing. I really do. I think that's why I have one of my several jobs, which is to go out and talk to people about, like, you shouldn't do that. Like, don't do that. Stop. This is what you should do instead. And so I do think that it's changing. I do think that people are coming to realize, one, that, again, you can't separate everything. Like, you can't parse me out. I'm a beautiful, holistic person. Don't do that to me. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't do that to anyone. And so I think people just have to retrain themselves to understand, like, I can recognize your difference and not place a value on it. Like, I can recognize that this work was done by, you know, a woman of color and not make, you know, say it's better or worse because of those things. You know what I'm saying? And so I think if we start to do that, and by we, I mean, as a society, start to do that, we'll start to see some of these disparities and discrepancies, like, get smaller. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I agree 100%. I totally hear what you're saying. And yeah, hopefully we can work towards those as a society. Those are big goals, unfortunately. They should be easy, but, you know, it is what it is right now. We're working to change it. Okay. So I do want to talk a little bit more, just a little on a serious note, just to get into that space a little bit. This is a question about the issues of today. So, you know, we have the pandemic, we have things like the racial justice movement that has really been really prevailing in the media today and even to the arts. So I just want to ask, do these issues influence your role or your art? You know, when you do your creative work, do these issues, like, do they influence your work in any way? Why or why not? And how so? I'm just curious to know if that's in your heads at all. Leslie, how about we start with you? Any thoughts on that?
Yes. And the answer is always. Mm. I mean, you'd have to be a cyborg and not have any, you know, especially with what's been going on lately. And I do a lot of, you know, Weird Wednesdays, and, you know, it's just everybody's invited. And there's been a couple things that have happened where parents have called me and said, you know, my son's going through this, you know, or they want to talk to Lolly, or like a lot, like when Maureen says your work, let your work speak for itself. There's times where, yes, I feel like my characters have way more confidence than I do. You know, like I sometimes, like, you know, will have that, like, I don't know, something in me will stop me from doing something, or I'll try to, but my characters are stronger than I am. And so when I don't have the courage to do it, I put the voice in a character that's going to reach. And a lot of it too is like, and I'm speaking in terms of puppets, which is kind of like, you know, kids that are on the spectrum, but also, you know, Sesame's doing a lot and making sure everybody feels represented and stuff like that. So for me, I think because, I have this little acronym that I do for my work, and I say, you know, I do humor with heart, and I have heart skills. I work on heart skills, and HEART, I think I've talked about it with you guys, which is humanity, education, arts, resources, and truth. And that's how I hold myself accountable. What's the humanity of the situation? I educate myself everything I need to know about the situation. What art form is going to best reach, help facilitate this situation? Is it going to be a story? Is it going to be a song? Is it going to be a piece of, is it going to be a float? You know, are we going to build a float and freaking crash the Macy's parade with this, like, yay, you know, Anaheim's, and what's the truth? The bottom line, you know, shining a light on the truth. So I just, and then also I have make sure that I have accountability partners. So, you know, being, you know, I have a lot of dear friends in the LGBTQ community. I lived through the AIDS crisis, you know, I'm a lot older than I think you guys are. So I've seen my friends, you know, melt before my eyes, you know, and I also feel like connected that we are the voices. If there's other people out there that aren't strong enough and we're strong enough to lift our voices, we lift our voices. But through the pandemic, I also have been Zooming in and doing a lot of workshops and classes and stuff. And you see these kids and then they unmute themselves and there's yelling in the background or there's, you know, and having been in a situation where my family, you know, having the loss of my brother, that changed my family dynamic. And these kids take on stresses and things. You can't, you know, my friend said he saw the headlines. He's afraid for his dad to go outside, you know, and how are we going to do these things? So I think you'd have to be a zombie to not think of these things. I mean, you could, but I can't sleep at night. Like some of the things that we've seen in outreach that we've done, I can't unsee or unhear. So,
yeah, I know it's a lot. Like it's intense, I think, definitely. And I think it's really great that you have this ability to reach kids and all these people with your art and, you know, be able to just give them a light, I guess. Cause it is pretty, you know, times they've gotten pretty dark. This past year has been wild. So I'm just so glad that you have that. And I'm curious, Blossom, for you, I know you don't, you know, still in college, you don't have a whole career in the arts yet, but do you think about that? Like when you're doing your art, or does maybe just you have your own personal experience with the arts themselves, just helping you get through if you have any like tough times with these issues going around, like if art has helped you get through that, anything like that?
Yeah, I agree with Leslie. It's like you just can't ignore it. I feel like, especially me, I put all of my work on social media, so I'm always like scrolling, and it's very rare that I don't see, you know, like current events on my timeline. So it's impossible for it not to run through my mind. Sometimes I get so overwhelmed that I kind of have to turn it off, and like my escape is to just draw something, even if it's not like direct. The objective of the piece is to like address those concerns. It addresses like my feelings, you know. It helps me to just kind of relieve myself from all of that scrolling, like doom scrolling, and just seeing all of this crazy stuff. So
yeah, I definitely feel that. How about you, Jordan and Emily? How about, what do you guys have, any similar experience or anything else, like your own unique experiences?
Well, yeah, so horrifies me when I see the stuff on the news and stuff. I'm an avid news watcher, so I see that a lot. And it's hard to escape from that stuff. And so I just try to do my best and make sure that everybody feels included and stuff.
That's very important as well, you know? And how about you, Emily?
Well, it's like Leslie said, you know, with like so much awful going on in the world right now, you just have to do your best to kind of, you know, be the light and, you know, try to spread that light like wherever you can.
Yes, I agree. And Vanessa, do you think, you know, do you think that art, you know, plays a role definitely in helping to alleviate the pain? And do you think, you know, it could be like, what is the significance of art, I guess, or creativity in these like tough moments, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, the answer is yes, 100%. I think, you know, I identify as a geek therapist, which basically means that, you know, I feel comfortable like bringing in pop culture, whatever you like, whatever you geek out about, I love it. Like, it's important to me, and it can be a tool for healing, kind of like to what Leslie mentioned earlier. I think there's sort of like a spectrum along which, you know, we can utilize art in healing. I think on one end of that spectrum is escapism. So like for Black people last summer, we had two pandemics. It was racism and the coronavirus. And so it was a lot. And as a therapist who works with primarily Black people, it was a lot for me every day, you know, just sitting through sessions of just pain. And, you know, and so my escape was like, you know what, I'm about to watch all the Marvel films, like all of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to just get into that world and that's what I'm going to do, right? And so on the other end of the spectrum is, you know, people who send messages through their art. You know what I'm saying? So people who can speak to an experience through a medium, because sometimes in therapy, it's easier for me to talk about, you know, Black Panther and what he experienced versus what I experienced as a Black person in America. And so that is a tool for healing. So we're able to have conversations that maybe we wouldn't feel safe to do. Like, I don't want to talk about me, but I'll talk about this. I'll talk about, you know, this person or that person or this character or this song. And again, that's healing. And so I think that undoubtedly this world would be a much darker, much more bleak place without art. And art has such a healing factor, I think, because it's so real and raw. It's not filtered. It is what it is. And I think that so many people can interpret it how they want. And to me, that also is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I agree. And that's honestly part of the reason that I wanted to be a writer. I honestly wouldn't even say part of the reason. It was the main reason that I wanted to be a writer, was because when I was growing up, I would read, you know, I was just reading fantasy books and Harry Potter and stuff, and, you know, nothing so serious, but it just reading these creative worlds and just what these people came up with. And even the messages, you know, within these works, like good versus evil and, you know, all these little themes, it was just so inspiring to me. And I thought, you know, like, what if I could do that, you know, just like uplift someone with the world that I create and the words that I, the message that I have, you know? And so I totally agree. Like, the arts are just like I said, just magical, you know, they're mm-hmm. just awesome. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I do want to ask a little lighter question now, just to get to know a little bit more about you all. What have been some of your greatest accomplishments as artists or people who work with the arts or within the arts? And I want to start with Blossom, if you don't mind. What are some of your just accomplishments?
I don't know. I think I need a second to think about it.
Sure.
I guess just being able to post my work on social media. I guess I feel like I didn't know this before, but it's actually such a struggle for certain people because they, you know, think about it too much. I actually get anxiety sometimes. So I think it's funny that when I can post my work on social media, but not really feel those kinds of feelings, because I feel like because when I used to go to conventions, my brother used to get me to sell at conventions. But when I'm at convention, that's when I get anxiety. But for me to just post it, I can just post it and it's done. And, you know, it's like, it's still getting there. People are still seeing it. So I think that's one of my big accomplishments, just being able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I know 100%, because I mean, I know as a writer, it's important obviously to get my writing out, but I had such like fear of sharing my writing with anyone for the longest time. So it is definitely an accomplishment to just be willing to and able to just put your work out there. So
now look at you. You're spreading your thesis to everyone.
I know. I had my thesis, my novella reading the other day, which was exciting. So yes, thank you, Jordan. That was a lot of fun. And Jordan, why don't you go ahead and just, you know, tell us about some of your just greatest accomplishments as someone who works within the arts.
It definitely has to be finding my voice and also just becoming comfortable with who I was. And just ever since I went to the new school I went to, it just came part of me. I feel more in my skin than I've ever been before.
That's awesome. That's great. I'm so happy to hear that. And you, Emily, how about you? Greatest accomplishments?
I would say thus far it would have to be getting to partner up with the Ronald McDonald House and getting to design a poster for their Kids Comic-Con comic book superhero day. That was the first time that I had ever gotten to work with Mr. Simmons. That was the first time I'd ever been like commissioned for like a big organization. and it was the first step for me anyway. It felt like the first real step on this journey.
That's awesome. Good for you. I'm sure I did not see the poster, but I'm sure it's amazing.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And Leslie, how about you? Greatest accomplishments?
Can I just sidetrack for a minute to say what just happened?
Yeah.
There was a delivery downstairs, and like Newhart, my dog, is like, alarm. It was super loud. So I ran downstairs, put my mask on. I opened the door, and there was a guy there, and he goes, "Fix your bell. You got," I was just like, oh my God. I literally went from this wonderful, supportive female group. I went downstairs and he yelled at me. And I was like, I just opened the door. And I was just like, I thought, if I was a guy, would you yell at me like this? I mean, it was literally, and it just made me laugh. It hurt, right? But it also made me laugh. Like, you thought it was okay to just lay into me in the middle of your day, and I did nothing but open the door. You know, and then, so I did, I just had to tell you, and then I came back upstairs. So I was, my heart was going like this. And then I settled back into this place like, oh God, I love these women. First of all, I want to work with all of you. And so you got to figure a way to do that. Yeah. So I just want to get that sidebar, but it also reminded me, I was in the middle of doing, I don't know, a KCC or J Fund event. And my husband was dressed as Deadpool. And the same thing happened. Our bell is broken, right? So Paul was dressed as Deadpool, and he had to go down and open the door, and the delivery guy saw Deadpool. He gave the package to Deadpool. I'm like, man! So I was thinking to myself, dang, I should have put on Deadpool and ran downstairs. Okay, so I pinched myself daily because I never in a million years dreamed that I'd be on Sesame Street, especially when it was so important to helping me feel like I fit in, because I don't, you know, I think everybody has, and I love what, Dr. Vanessa said, that everybody has, an invisible truth that lives in them. And it is, we're all kind of have this thing on the spectrum where we either an empath or you feel something, and the arts tap into that, and nobody can take that from you. Nobody can take your truth away from you, and nobody knows your story but you, you know, and people walk around with stories that you have no idea what they're living with. So I do love that. And the thing I'm most proud of, and I am like really proud that Abby got to read with First Lady Michelle Obama at the National Tree Lighting. For me, that was huge because it was the first time they just had a female character that wasn't with Elmo, wasn't paired with Cookie Monster, you know. It was like, wow, you're just letting her be, these two women be together. And I was just like, first, that was just epic to me. Yeah. But the thing I'm most proud of is the heart skills approach, which is just like, it's like a service learning approach. You guys know when you do service learning projects, you have to write a mission statement and all that stuff. And my friend Becky Ray, we just posted about this. My friend Becky Ray was on dialysis for 2 years. She has lupus and she had kidney failure, and people didn't know what was going on. You know, I'm like, Becky, I don't think people know that you're on dialysis 12 hours a day. Like, she has a brother who's, you know, he is, he's wheelchair bound, nonverbal, all this, this family's laden with this stuff. So we did a puppet film, like where Lolly goes, hey, I brought you a can of kidneys. We're done. And she's like, that's a little more serious than that, Lolly. So we did with humor with a heart. We were able to do a video that Becky got to tell her stories. All the local people, like we flew to Atlanta. I used my frequent flyer miles. I went to Atlanta. We enlisted the help of somebody with a camera, somebody with lighting, puppeteers, made everything. We did this film. We let Becky tell her story. We put it on, it's the 6 year anniversary of her. We put it on Facebook, and somebody who didn't even know Becky became her living donor. Wow. She was a veterinarian. She made her own kidney puppet. And I was just like, holy cow. You know, here we are, a small little nerdy community that everybody chimed in to help. And it literally, when you zero in on the, when your intention is there, anything is possible. And that to me just, I was like, you know what? This isn't about me. This is through me. And the way that I can deal with all the guy who yells at me for no reason is just like, I get out of my own way and I make it, I think that's being of service, you know, helps. So I don't know if I answered the question, but
no, you totally did.
I'm so grateful to come back upstairs.
Yes, this is a safe space. No, that's incredible. Like, seriously, and especially the Michelle Obama reading, that's like, wow, I can't even imagine. Like, that's incredible. Lastly, I do want to hear from you, Dr. Vanessa, what's your greatest accomplishment?
I just had to take a breath. My chest was getting tight. With all the stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, oh God, take a breath.
Yeah.
Okay. I love feelings, but not my own. So, I think for me, well, first and foremost, just being able to sit in this space. I remember when Alex said, hey, we want you to be part of this panel with creatives. I was like, are you talking to me? Like, I don't know how to draw. I don't know how to sing. I don't know. What are you talking about? And him and my dear friend, Victor Dandridge, were like, you're a creative. And they gave me this whole like speech. And I was just like, okay, yes. And so being able to sit in this space and be accepted in this space, I'm very thankful for that. And I think up until this point, I mean, Maureen kind of hyped me up when I got to write in that book and I got to write in another book about the Joker. It's so awesome.
Ooh.
Those were like definitely scholarly sort of like, achievements. But most recently I was asked to develop like a graduate level course around like anti-racism and sort of like just equity and inclusion. And they said, you do whatever you want. And I built the entire class around popular culture. So each week, whatever we're talking about, there's like all these pop culture things, like you need to watch this and read this and listen to this. And after I sent it to be like looked at, and people were like, yo, this is amazing. And you should write a book about this. So to be continued, that's a thing that's happening. But to be able to be given sort of that creative freedom and to be able to bring it, because I'm like a school nerd too. Like I went to school forever and ever. So like, I just love academics, and to be able to bring that in with stuff that I love sort of creatively, it was just really amazing. It was very tedious, but it was amazing. And I think it's going to benefit the students who take that class and then the students that they teach. And so it was just, it's super awesome. And like I said, I'm just very thankful to be in this space with you all today. So thank you.
Oh yeah. That's awesome. I commend you totally. That's like really, really great and exciting. Okay, so I do have one last question for you all, and it's just a question that I want to ask just to kind of get to know you a little better and just to, because I'm curious. If someone were to offer you like $1 million to switch to a career, or for those of us still in school, or like, I guess, yeah, a career path that didn't involve the arts at all, would you take it? Why or why not? Let's start, Emily, real quick.
Would I get the $1 million up front, or would I get it after like a set amount of time?
No. So you have to make the decision like right then and there, and like promise not to do a career that involved the arts at all. And if you like promise, then you got the money. You basically got it up front, but you have to like stick to your promise.
Okay. If that's the case, then I would just, I mean, I don't want to sound cynical, but like I think I would just, I mean, what really defines a career? Like I could just have $1 million and then I could just not have to worry about, like, that is honestly the artist's dream, like to just create and not have to think about money. Like I could still draw and still post my stuff and then, you know, and I can do it all from the comfort of like $1 million golden jacuzzi, you know, like that would be awesome.
Yes, that is an excellent point. How about you, Jordan?
100% no, I would not take the money because I wouldn't feel complete without it, without the arts. So it just wouldn't feel like me. So
there you go. No. And Vanessa?
Yeah, I think that I'm going to answer like a therapist and say it depends, because I think that it's not possible to have any career that doesn't involve creativity or the arts, because I think everything does. It's just we have to find out how. And so if somebody asked me that, I'd be like, well, that's like not really a thing. So you should just give me that money so I can pay my student loans.
There you go. Fair enough. Okay. And Leslie?
Yeah, I'm just going to echo what everybody else said. Click, click, click. Because I don't even know that it's possible. I mean, I'd probably take the money and use it to fund the arts. So it's like, I think everybody's dream is to win the MacArthur Genius Grant. I don't know, it's mine, where you could just take it. Because I think most artists I know is they, most of them want to shine a light on other artists, yeah. You know, because we got each other, you know. I couldn't do it.
And last but not least, Blossom, what do you think?
I mean, honestly, the same. It's what I'm doing right now. I'm not even in school for art, so my life wouldn't change, I feel like. I'd still be a hobbyist. I can still go home and draw, so yeah, I'd take the money.
Yeah, I totally agree. I understand where everyone's coming from. Use that money. Use it wisely. Well, thank you so much, everyone. This has been awesome getting to know you and hearing about the arts and all your journeys. And it's just been so inspiring. So thank you so, so much. And I hope you all had fun. And I hope you
come. I'm honored to be on the panel, too. I said the same thing. I was like, sure. Thank you, ladies. You're inspiring. Thank you.